Good evening. First of all, let me thank the Arab-Jewish Partnership for Justice, Peace and Justice in the Middle East for giving me this opportunity to talk to you. In fact, my name is Zakaria Oude. I am Executive Director of the Civic Coalition for Human Rights in Jerusalem. It's a group of human rights organizations that their focus or their mandate is the work, the monitoring of human rights situation in occupied East Jerusalem. Just to say, to mention, you know, to try to go back a little bit about the history of Jerusalem, as you might know that based on the partition plan before 1948, according to the partition plan, it was decided that East and West Jerusalem should be kept under international United Nations umbrella. So there was no division for Jerusalem. Until now, in the United Nations, they deal with Jerusalem as one city. There is no East and West. But this is, has became talking about East Jerusalem later through the various resolution and after the establishment of the Israeli state. But this partition plan, as you know, it was rejected by the Arabs because it didn't fulfill the right of the Palestinians. So after the clashes between the militia, Zionist militia, and the Arabs who were trying to resist the taking over occupation of Palestine, nearly 80,000 Palestinians were forced to leave West Jerusalem to East Jerusalem and to the rest of the West Bank. 38 villages were completely destroyed in the area of Jerusalem. So that was in 1948. You know, after 1967, as you know, the rest, the West Bank and Gaza were occupied, including East Jerusalem. So all Jerusalem became under the Israeli occupation. And always we say the problem in Jerusalem is not really the occupation, neither even in the occupied territories. You know, because what we are facing a colonial apartheid settler regime in Palestine. But what's more worse for Jerusalem is the annexation. 2 weeks after the occupation of East Jerusalem, Israel expanded the border of East Jerusalem, where the city of East Jerusalem, where it annexed 70 square kilometers from the land of the West Bank into the Israeli municipality border of Jerusalem. So East Jerusalem became under, as a result of the annexation, it became under the Israeli jurisdiction, the people and the property. And that's what makes it different than the rest of the West Bank and Gaza, which has been under the military military rule or military occupation. Of course, since the occupation of Jerusalem, Israel start implementing policies which always aim to control and grab more land of the Palestinians and trying to force the Palestinians to leave the city of occupied East Jerusalem. In addition to the annexation, which took place just 2 weeks after the occupation, in 1980, Israel, the Knesset, the Israeli parliament, they passed a law where they call it the basic law. It's not a constitution, but it has the power of the constitution. According to this law, they declare East and West Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. So the annexation and the declaration that East and West Jerusalem is the capital of Israel were the legal framework and the main legal framework that Israel has established after 1965. And all the policies that has been implemented since then, now 49 years of occupation, is all in order to achieve that East Jerusalem with West Jerusalem is the capital of the Israeli state. In spite of that, the international community, even the United States, till now, officially, they consider occupied East Jerusalem is an occupied city and it's part of the occupied territories, and they are not accepting that it is part of Israel. Of course, this annexation as well, it deprived the Palestinians from the protection which Geneva Convention gave us as people under occupation. You know, according to the Geneva Convention, people under occupation should be protected. But because Israel didn't acknowledge and hasn't been acknowledging that till now, so that deprived the Palestinians from the right for protection again, according to the Geneva Convention. You know, Israel, since its occupation of East Jerusalem, they always try to strengthen its sovereignty over Jerusalem and trying to create a Jewish majority in the city of occupied East Jerusalem. So the demographic issue is one of the main concern that always the different Israeli governments, Israeli parties or leadership, they try to achieve. So always in their mind that Palestinians should be a small minority. In 73, there was a Gefna committee which recommended that Palestinians in Jerusalem shouldn't be more than 22% of all the population of Jerusalem, East and West. In 2020, according to the main and major Israeli master plan, they call it 2020, which have the vision Jerusalem, they talk about 30% Palestinian and 70% Israeli Jewish. So always they try to stress the issue of the demographic issue. They always try to stress that always Jerusalem, united, the capital of Israel, should be majority Jewish population. That was stated very clearly even in the Israeli master plan, urban plan in 2020. You know, they say in that introduction, East and West united with a Jewish majority, the capital of the Jewish state, and the center of all the Jews all over the world. That's how the Zionist leadership, it's how the Israeli leadership, how they vision Jerusalem. That's how they see Jerusalem in the long run. So in order to achieve that, the Israeli government and institution, they start establishing various laws to take over lands. So always we say the Israeli institutions are really very creative in this regard. So one of the main laws that they use to take over land is confiscation land for public purposes. This is one of the main laws for public, like governmental buildings or for services or anything for the interest of the people or the public. But if you look at on the ground, they hardly really did anything for the purpose of the public. The second law that they used is absentee property law. You know, this law was established in 1950, and most of the land within what's called now Israel in 1948 or in the green area, it was grabbed under this law, the absentee property law. I think you are aware of this law. This law, if any Palestinian during the war in 48 or during the war in 1967, if she or he were outside the country, so they consider absentee. So the property, whether land or houses or whatever it is, it goes to the government of Israel. So Israel, after 67, they start implementing this law in order to take over the property in occupied East Jerusalem. The other law or the other procedure, which is green area. You know, they have a system where they declare some area as a green area. Usually this green area is supposed to be like parks, gardens. So a lot of the land, nearly 22% of the land of occupied East Jerusalem is confiscated or taken over under this law as a green area. If you go in all East Jerusalem, you will not see any park or any garden for the Palestinians in East Jerusalem. So nowadays, nearly or 87% of all the land of the occupied East Jerusalem is under the complete control and use of the Israeli government. Only 13% of all the land in occupied East Jerusalem is left for the use of the Palestinians, for housing, for commercial, for any public use for the Palestinian in East Jerusalem. So all what the only space that is left for us is only 13% of all the land of occupied East Jerusalem. Of course, land and land control is connected with building settlements. All of us, we hear about building settlements. In East Jerusalem, in the city of East Jerusalem, there are now 16 settlements, nearly 215,000 Jewish settlers. They live in East Jerusalem, in the part which was occupied in 1967. 45% of all the population of occupied East Jerusalem are Jewish settlers. This is a map which I was supposed to show you. You know, now Israel, they don't talk about East Jerusalem. What they talk about Greater Jerusalem. You know, Netanyahu, he talked many times about what we are achieving. We are achieving Greater Jerusalem. Greater Jerusalem, for the Israeli leadership, its border in the south, it reached Hebron, Gosh Atzion, settlement block. If somebody, if any of you is aware of Gosh Atzion, I think Don knows very well Gosh Atzion. So it is in the border of Hebron, between Bethlehem and Hebron. In the east, in the border of Jericho and the Jordan Valley, and in the north, in the border of Ramallah. So for them, this is Jerusalem. This is what they call the Greater Jerusalem. They try to connect the settlements into West Jerusalem, and they try to get rid or to take out the Palestinian neighborhood outside the border of the city of Jerusalem. You know, now with the Jerusalem now is completely surrounded by the wall, the separation wall, which was established after 2005, and the military checkpoint, which were established in 1993. So now Jerusalem is like a big prison. It's closed completely. People can go in and out from three or four gates or entrances. By constructing the wall, five Palestinian Jerusalemite neighborhood became outside the wall. Nearly 90,000 Palestinians, they live outside the separation wall, outside the checkpoint. What does that mean? In the long run, that these people will lose their right to be part of the city of Jerusalem. So this is part of the policy that they are implementing in order to force the people to leave the city and to create a majority of Jewish Israelis. The other thing that this is land control, building settlement as well is connected with the Israeli discriminatory urban planning policy. You know, the Israeli plans, the master plans that they always try to draft for Jerusalem, they never took in consideration that there is Palestinians who live in Jerusalem. Yani there are some engineers, experts, who study the master plan 2020. They said that the planners, the Israeli planners, when they put the plan, they didn't take in any consideration that there are Palestinian peoples in this area. So the main objective of the Israeli planning system is how to increase the Jewish settlers, how to increase the Jewish settlement in occupied East Jerusalem, and how to create a majority of Jews vis-a-vis a small minority of Palestinian Arabs. So this is the main theme of any Israeli planning policy or any urban planning policy in the area of Jerusalem. Of course, this short of land create a housing problem. You know, according to the planner, there is a shortage or there is a need for 40,000 housing units for the Palestinian who lives in Jerusalem. So housing is really one of the main challenges or one of the main problems that Palestinians are facing in occupied Jerusalem or in the city of Jerusalem. The shortage of land, there is no zoning, there is only 25% of the land of East Jerusalem has a master plan. And you know, if there is no master plan, you can't apply for building permit. You can't build a house. In addition to that, Israel, they put a lot of restriction on obtaining building permits. You know, if any Palestinian wants to obtain a building permit, this is a very complicated, very difficult process. Usually, people denied the right for obtaining a building permit. Just to give you an example, sometimes it takes 5 to 10 years to get a license or a permission to build a house. You know, to take a permission to build an apartment or a house of only 100 square meter, Palestine and East Jerusalem has to pay average $35,000 just the fees for getting a permission even before you start building a house. And you know, they put another condition that we have to provide a document that we own the land in the name of the individual who or he, she, who are trying to build a house. And you know, in Palestine, there is no, most of the land is collective ownership from the Ottoman, then the British, then the Jordanian, then the Israelis. So they built a lot of restriction in order to prevent Palestinian from obtaining building permits. Because people, they can't build houses, they don't have permission. Israel always denying them. You know, always the municipality of Jerusalem, the Israeli municipality, is the municipality which is in charge of these things. So people, Palestinians in East Jerusalem, they're growing up. They are increasing. So people, they have no choice, but they build without a permission. In East Jerusalem, there are 20,000 apartments or houses that were built without a permission. 20,000. Nearly 85,000, one-third of the Palestinians in Jerusalem, they live in homes without a permission. You know, according to the Israeli law, if you build without a permission, the house must be demolished. That's why if you hear every day, there are 5, 6, 7 houses that are demolished by the municipality of Jerusalem in the city of Jerusalem. In spite of all the policies, in spite that Israel always try to force the people to leave the city and to decrease the number of the Palestinians, you know, now Palestinians in Jerusalem as a whole, we are nearly 39% of all the population of Jerusalem. 39. And this is driving the Israeli leaders and institution mad, crazy, because with all what they do, with all the housing, land confiscation, the planning, restriction on buildings, but the number of the people are increasing rather decreasing. So we are nearly 39 of all the population of all Jerusalem, East and West, not only East Jerusalem. So land confiscation and planning is really one of the main challenges that are facing Palestinians in occupied East Jerusalem. The other main challenge is legal status or residency right for the Palestinians in East Jerusalem. You know, Israel, when they occupied East Jerusalem, they thought, okay, what kind of legal status are we giving these Palestinians? So they decide that we are permanent residents. So we are like anybody, any foreigner, he or she, they come, they stay for some time, they become residents. So they consider us as residents according to the 1952 law, which is the entry law into Israel. This law was established in 1950 to control the illegal immigration into Israel. So Israel, after 67, they start implementing this law on Palestinians who lives in the occupied East Jerusalem. According to this law, they have the right to revoke our residency. Our residency, it's an ID, which is temporary ID. We have to renew it every 10 years. If we don't renew it, we lose our residency. So the Interior Minister, the Israeli Minister of Interior, who has the mandate to revoke our residency, when they can do that. For example, if any Palestinians live outside the city of Jerusalem more than 6 years, he or she, they lose their residency. Even if they come in summer, every summer, like let's assume a student study in the United States. In summer, he or she doesn't have courses. They go back to Jerusalem. Even if you go every year, every summer, and stay in Jerusalem, and you do that 6 years, after year, you lose your residency. If anybody gets a residency or citizenship from any other country, yani somebody gets a green card or a citizenship in the US or Europe, anybody, he or she, they lose their residency to stay in Jerusalem. They have as well, they created a law which they call it the Center of Life Law, where each Palestinians, they have to prove always, all the time, that their life, their center of life is in East Jerusalem. What does that mean? People have to be, their work, their job or their work should be in East Jerusalem, and their accommodation or their residence in East Jerusalem. If anybody goes and live in Ramallah or Bethlehem, which I think a lot of you knows, it's 15 minutes from Jerusalem. And if you leave the border of the Israeli municipality for Jerusalem, if you live in the district of Jerusalem, outside the municipality border, you lose your residency. You know, there is no land, there is no houses, there is a shortage of houses. Apartments, renting is very expensive. The minimum for any apartment to rent in East Jerusalem, it needs like $1,000 a month. So people, they usually, they try to go and live in Ramallah or Bethlehem because it's cheaper. And it's just 15 minutes, 20 minutes from the city of Jerusalem. So if you do that, if anybody does that, they lose their residency. They have another law, which is what they call it the loyalty law. If they can prove that any Palestinian, he or she, their loyalty is not to the state of Israel, they can take or revoke their residency. Can you imagine an occupier? Does it happen anywhere in the world that there is a people who are under occupation? They should be loyal to their occupier. It's only Israel who does that, and only Israel who do that. You know, with regard to revoking residency for political reason, till now, during the last few years, there have been 12 cases who they lost their residency because of their political activities. And because of the Center of Life, there is a number of 14,525 Palestinians. They lost their residency in East Jerusalem because their Center of Life was not East Jerusalem, because they were in either Ramallah, the other part of the West Bank, or Jordan, or wherever they go. One of the cases for housing and housing demolition, maybe some of you heard about Silwan. Silwan is a neighborhood in the south of the old city of Jerusalem. It's one of the areas that has been targeted by the settler movements. There is a neighborhood called Al-Bustan in Silwan. There are 130 families in this neighborhood, 88 buildings. Israel, in 2005, they declared that this area is a green area. Of course, in the green area, building is not allowed. Any building in the green area should be demolished. So they issue a demolition order against 88 buildings, 130 families who live in Al-Silwan. You know why? They believe that King David used to walk in this area. So they want to build a biblical park in this area. So this is one of the major cases for demolition. As the people say, what is important? That King David was walking in this area, or our children and women to be homeless? So this is a battle since 2005. Our lawyers in the Civic Coalition, we take the case and we try to defend the people. We try to stop this plan against the municipality, Israeli municipality of Jerusalem. And there is another case which I think a lot of you heard about, Sheikh Jarrah. It's one of the main examples for evictions. You know, in Sheikh Jarrah, there are 52 families who they have been living since 1956. Jordan provide the land, and the UNRWA built housing unit for families who were refugees from 1948. So they have been living there until 1972. Then Israeli settler group, they claim that they own the land. And since then, they have been going to the court trying to evict these Palestinians. Till now, they evicted 12 families from this neighborhood, and they are trying to evict the rest of these families. There is a plan in the municipality to build a settlement of 250 housing units for the Israeli Jewish settlers. These two cases are one of the main or major examples for house demolitions and house eviction that Israel is really trying to take over or try to evict the people from their houses in this area. As well, our lawyers, we have three lawyers who have been following this case as well with the Israeli municipality, Jerusalem municipality. So there is another two issues which I want to address, which related to children. One of them is detention and arrest. And detention arrest has been escalating during the previous months since October 2005, since the unrest has started, and Israel has really been escalating in their policies, in their measures against the Palestinians in the whole West Bank or occupied territories, and in particular in East Jerusalem. During 2015, there were 929 children who were arrested in all the occupied territories. 171 children were from East Jerusalem. So always East Jerusalem has the major number of arrests and detention with regard to children. Now in the prison, just to give you some numbers, there are 7,000 Palestinian prisoners in the prison, in the Israeli prison. 330 are children, 71 women, 7 members of the Legislative Council, the Palestinian Legislative Council, and 750 who are serving administrative detention. You know, the administrative detention, people are arrested without charges based on the emergency regulation 1945, which was established by the British mandate. So there are 750 Palestinians who are serving administrative detention. Just I want to talk about house arrest, which is related to children in East Jerusalem. There are 25 child who are now serving house arrest. You know, what does that mean? Because people might think house arrest is a good thing. I mean, it's better than being in prison. You know, usually, sometimes the judge, he order that the child, who most of the cases people are accused of throwing stones. You know, always this is the magic word or this is the magic charge that anybody arrested, they accuse him or her that they were throwing stones or they were attacking settlers or they were attacking police. So the judge ordered that the person, the child, to be under house arrest. It could be for 4 weeks, it could be 2 months, 3 months, it could reach like 8 and 9 months until the trial will take place. You know, what does that mean to be in a house arrest? The parents, they have to play the role of warden guard. Yani, usually the police take one of the parents, either the mother or the father or an adult in the house, and they have to sign a commitment that the person, the child, will not leave the house whatsoever during the 24 hours. The child can't go to school. If the child gets sick, the father has to go to the security office or the police to get a permission for only 1 hour that the father has to take the child to the doctor and bring him back within this 1 hour. The families have to expect the visit of the security or the police every day. Sometimes they visit the house twice a day to check that the child is in the house. You know what does that create? It creates a lot of hatred by the children against their parents. Because in this situation, they start believing that the parents who are really imprisoning the children is not the security or the police. In many cases, the family, they say, we prefer that they are arrested and they are in the prison rather being imprisoned in the house under what's so-called house arrest. So this is one of really main tools. You know why they do that mainly? Because they are trying to break the psychology of this generation. You know, people, children under, like between the age 18, 14, 13, 16, 17, it really goes down to 12 years old, they can sentence for house arrest. So this is, they know that this is the future generation. You know, maybe more than 55% of the Palestinians are young, or children, even in the age of children, under 18. So they know that this generation, that the generation that Israel has to deal with in the future, this is the generation who is resisting, who is fighting the Israelis these days, demonstrating, fighting against the police, the settlers in the different neighborhoods. So that they are trying to put pressure on this generation in order to break them down, to break their psychology. That was or has been the main objective of this policy that the Israelis are using. The other issue is education, which is related as well to children. You know, Israel, all with the time since they occupied East Jerusalem, they always try to control the education system. I don't know if some of you are aware, since 1967, when they occupied East Jerusalem, they tried to impose the Israeli curriculum or textbook and education system. There was a big battle. Schools were in strike for 3 years. Between 67 until 71, there were no schools. Most schools were in strike because schools, students, parents, they refused to accept and to implement the Israeli education system. Until in the end, the Israelis, they accepted that they used the same education system which was used during the Jordanian before 67. Till the BA came, the Palestinian Authority, they developed a Palestinian curriculum where they start teaching the students, including East Jerusalem. That went on until 2011. In 2011, the Israeli municipality, Jerusalem municipality, and the Minister of Education, they decide that Palestinian schools in East Jerusalem, they can't use this curriculum. We have to provide you with a new textbook. You know what they did? They took out, they crossed anything related to the Palestinian history, Palestinian narrative, Palestinian struggle, anything about the Palestinian, the occupation, the policy of the occupation, and they have been trying to force the school to use this curriculum. Last year, they went further step, and they start imposing the curriculum that has been used within 1948, the green area, which called Israel. So last year, they start imposing the curriculum. You know this curriculum, we did a study about it. You know, they talk about the war, the Nakba, or the war in 1948, the independent war, the war of independence. They teach that Jerusalem is the capital of the Israeli state. They talk about the Israeli leadership, the Zionist leadership who led the Zionist movement before the establishment of the Israeli state, and after that, they never talk about the history of the Palestinian like poets about the artist and things like that. So it is a kind of brainwashing for the people, for the students. And this issue has been one of the major battles in occupied East Jerusalem for the last few years. We launched a campaign with other civil society organizations against the Israeli institutions, with the United Nations agencies, with the UN, with the Human Rights Council and other international agencies, in order to try to prevent the implementation of this new curriculum on schools that they teach or they include, they have Palestinian students. So education is very important for us because it is incubation of the mentality, incubation of the people, how they think. And this is very dangerous. Always I say, if they demolish a house, the house might be rebuilt. But if they destroy the people, how they think, this is very, very difficult to restore. It's very difficult to rehabilitate. And that's what they are trying to do. The last thing, just within this situation, within what's going on, Palestinians in East Jerusalem, or in Jerusalem in particular, and in the occupied territories are facing a systematic, very well-planned ethnic cleansing policy, population forcible transfer. Israel, they made people in Gaza refugees by using tanks, aeroplanes, by shelling the Gaza for days and for weeks. But what they do in East Jerusalem or in Jerusalem, it is a silent war. Through these policies, they try to force the people to leave the city and to kick them outside of the city of East Jerusalem. So because of all this was going on, I don't want to go more about freedom of expression, suppression of institution. There are like 38 NGOs that has been closed since 2000 by the Israeli Ministry of Interior. You know, the only any time they can say it is a threat for the security of the state of Israel, they can close any institution, any civil society organization. They can stop any activities. Tens or hundreds of activities were stopped by the police because they consider it as a threat to the security. Like once we had a meeting to talk to people about how to deal, what are the Israeli laws, what are the Israeli legal system, so how can you deal with it? So they prevented us, they closed the hotel, they gave him 24 hours that if he doesn't stop the activity, the whole hotel will be closed for 6 months. So they have been really suppressing, they have been trying to stop any or prevent the freedom of expression of our people in Jerusalem in particular and the occupied territories as a whole. That's because of all of that, the civic coalition where I am the executive director was established. It was established in 2005. We do three things. We monitor the Israeli plans, policies and laws that Israel is trying always to establish or to implement in occupied East Jerusalem. Then we do awareness raising for our people, for the communities, about these plans, what are the effects, what is the influence, the impact, and about the laws that Israel always introduced or established. Then we go further, we have a team of lawyers, we provide legal intervention. We have a team of lawyers who challenge the Israeli plans in the Israeli legal system, with the Israeli planning committees. But always our lawyer says we are like first aid. We never manage to stop a plan. What we try to do always, we try to buy time. Instead of demolishing the house in 1 year or 6 months, we keep it 3, 4, 5 years. So that's all what the lawyer they do really. And you know that this is really very costly. You know, if we only talk about that, there are 20 houses or apartment that built without permission. So you can imagine, as we say always, each family needs a lawyer in East Jerusalem. Each family, not each even, and things like that. So because of that, our main work or our focus is international advocacy and international legal advocacy. So we work with all the UN agencies, the Human Rights Council, the different treaties. You know, now we are member of the Rome Statute. We signed the Rome Statute, the ICC. So we submitted some reports to the ICC about the Israeli ethnic cleansing policy, the forced population displacement of the Palestinians. We work with the European Union in Brussels. We work with the diplomatic missions. So because we believe the problem in Jerusalem is a political problem. It's not a humanitarian. And unfortunately, always, like donors state, they try to deal with occupied East Jerusalem as a humanitarian issue rather than a political issue that it needs a political solution. So that's what we do as a coalition. Thank you for listening, and I'm sorry that I've been late in addition to the delay that we had until we started. Thank you.